Well, the God we serve never ceases to amaze me. And so we will go to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to do our best to seek what he wants to expose. There's one verse that was very loud this morning, and that's verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. When I read that, the word that's obviously very visible is sanctimonious. In other words, we are so holy in our own eyes, we don't need a relationship with you, Lord. When I am holy in my own eyes, and I believe that I've done to bring myself into that place where I can now enter heaven on my own, do I really need a relationship of love with Jesus? Can I be happy with myself as I am? Sanctimony, distinguishing marks of sanctimonian, an outward show of righteousness, is what the identity of that particular word is. Isaiah 58:2 says, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the command of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near to them. Notice it's seeming. It's artificial. And God sees through yours or my act of righteousness. A Pharisaic separation, Isaiah 65:5, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. That says that God is not happy with that. Assumed innocence is the next one, Jeremiah 2:35. You say, I am innocent. He is not angry with me. Those are the words that have come out of the person that is sanctimonious. But I will pass judgment on you because you say, I have not sinned. The next one is religious display, Matthew 6:5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. There was a gentleman that I got to be involved in many years back, who was a full-time preacher. He also went every single week in New Orleans, and he gave out
and preached to the ungodly. And probably brought many people to an awareness of God. By the way, he was a good Baptist. And he didn't believe in tongues. And he adopted something like, I think it's 30-something children. Brought them up. And did an incredible work in his own eyes. But then he needed a loan, so he went to the bank. And while in the bank, he started to feel rotten and weak. So he kind of canceled his appointment and drove home. I forgot how many miles. When he got home, he opened the door to his car and fell in his driveway. And his wife called 911, or I don't think there was a 911 at that time, but called for help, because he's a big man. And he died. The ambulance picked him up. His wife was in the ambulance with him. It was 20-something miles to get to the hospital, and he was totally dead. But his spirit went before the Lord. And when he was before the Lord, he's expecting to be patted on the back because he did such a good job for God and brought up all those kids. And the Lord says, you've already got your reward. You've got the respect of all the people that know you, but none of what you have done was of me. It was of yourself. You don't know me. You know who you are, and you like the acknowledgement of being an officer of the law. You like being a gentleman that preaches on the street corner, and you advertise how great you are. But you have no knowledge of who I am. And by the way, you don't believe in demons. You don't believe in casting them out. And you don't believe in the gifts of my spirit. So therefore, it's time for you to make a decision. Could you go back and tell the world what you've done and apologize to the church for your misbehavior? Anybody know who I'm talking about?
I can't think of his name.
Harold Pittman.
That's
Harold Pittman.
Howard Pittman. Howard Pittman, yes. I sat with that man one-to-one for hours. And he said, so much of the church advertises its own goodness. And you're not going to get away with it. Because he's going to tell the church people, I never knew you. Arrogance. Godly works. Oh, I help the poor. Oh, I go to church. Do you go because you park yourself on a bench or a seat and then come home and think you're holy? Or do you know the one who gave up his life for you? And the answer is, don't look around at other people, but look at what he's saying to you and me today. Verse 1, Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye,
and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Perception. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. That's a red letter message. But so is verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Who does the will of my Father? Peggy, you had a word, and you obeyed, and you went. You obeyed, and you deposited some truth into some people. And there will be follow-ups. You say, well, are you picking on Peggy? Yeah, I am, because she actually was talking about what this message is. Do you see it? Yeah. Howard Pittman said, I've gone all around the world repenting of my own darkness, and the majority don't want to hear it. You say, well, what do you mean? I'll give you a living example. The day I had that conference with him, he had been scheduled to preach at the church that I worked for. And the people in it canceled 2/3 of his appointment because they could not stand the message of truth. And it was a born-again, spirit-filled church. You say, well, what are you talking about, Kim? I'm talking about insults to the man of God who went to heaven, changed his heart, and obeyed God, and he could not be accepted here in Springfield, Massachusetts. Why do you think I had such a conference with him? I couldn't understand. I wanted to make up for the insults that were done by my brothers and my sisters. I was hurt, I was wounded, I was just overwhelmed at their ignorance. Yet I had no recourse, and I cried out, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you insulting this man of God who's traveled all this way to give you the word from the Lord? And you don't have the courtesy to open your hearts to receive an awareness that he has a word and has experienced something that I pray happens to you. Maybe you need to die on your way home. Maybe you need an awakening on the inside of your heart, not to judge and condemn, but to accept that maybe there's a higher level of revelation that needs to be imparted to you. And I can remember Howard and his wife and that little pooch. He had a little pooch about this long. He was running all around. And he could tell that I was crying, not literally outside, but inside my heart I was crying. Because I know the value of what this man went through. He says, Kim, I'm not offended. It's happened before. I said, not from my brothers and sisters. And I couldn't take the pain away. And I couldn't cancel what had been done, even though I tried. Was I in my flesh? I would say definitely I was angry, yes. I was wounded. I was insulted. For the man, didn't matter what I was going through. But a year later, I learned why. They couldn't stand me either. And I'm not accusing. I'm just telling you. The Lord's word to these that have an awareness that they're so holy, they don't need to hear. Pray for them. intercede for them. Not in your natural understanding, because you're going to fail, but in the spirit realm. As you intercede for them, God's Holy Spirit can pray through you to set them free. Why did Jesus warn these people? How many people were listening to his message? Did they change? Do the people that rejected Howard Pittman change? I don't know. But you know what? It's not important anymore. This is many years ago. But what is important is don't stop praying for those that are deceived. Don't stop praying for the insults that may come to you and to me because we try to obey the one that's higher than us because we have a knowledge of him. We have a relationship with him. And that does produce jealousy. And it will manifest. And some will let you know that they don't like you. Not necessarily with words, because up front, they will maybe act and react very nicely. But in the background, they will judge and gossip about you.
Amen.
How many have tasted what I've talked about? Put your hand way up and look around. Thank you. So what am I saying? I'm not saying that you should accuse them any deeper, because it's not going to help. But your intercession will change their hearts. You're standing in the gap. Jesus from the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing." Please don't hold any sin against them. I've prayed that prayer many times. And I may have to do it again. But Jesus gave us an example. Amen? And that example will hold you and let you see the one that you serve and the one that you love and the one that loves you. Is it important to realize that that relationship is absolutely essential? Yes. And the deeper and the deeper that you go in the knowledge and the love of him and his love for us will give you the victory over all the darkness. It will manifest when you least expect it. A few years ago, I had called Howard and spoke to him again. I reminded him you have to come back to New England. We want to see you. And you will not be rejected.
Amen.
But that day was very difficult. It's not something I enjoyed going through. But he reminded me. Those that are tender will definitely be. Poked at, betrayed, slandered, and sometimes injured.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Come on, stand up.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
And now may his anointing be upon you as you go forth in this 4th of July. This celebration that the liberties that have been paid for by blood
and tears and rejection and anger and all those things that have caused this division in our country. Father, heal our country today. Father, touch our country and our countrymen and our leaders, Lord. You know how to bear their sin, and you also know how to cover their sin, and you also know how to heal their sin. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Share some hugs with each other. That's a must.